Stand if you're able to while I read the scripture lesson this morning. It's from Genesis 45, 3 through 11 and 15. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here, sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent them before you to preserve you, for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler all over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you here, there, and since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all who live here will not come to poverty." And now your eyes have seen the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that will have your mouth and that speaks to you. You must live, my father, how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon my brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Here ends reading.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke. It's found in chapter 6 and begins with verse 27. "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on one cheek, let him hit the other too. If someone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks you for something, and when someone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do for others just what you want them to do for you. If you love only the people who love you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners do that. And if you lend only to those from whom you hope to get it back, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. No, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You will then have a great reward, and you will be children of the Most High God. For he is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you." Okay, it's true confessions time. I want all the men who remember the women in their lives on Valentine's Day with at least a card or maybe a little gift to raise their hands. And last night's free roses don't count.
Every day is Valentine's
Day. Yeah. Is Judy here to refute that? Okay. You can put your hands down. Okay. Now, what about the women? If the women remember their significant others, their husbands, in like manner, raise your hands. Not bad. Probably an equal portion. Even put your hands down. folks like to make a big production out of Valentine's Day. Lavish gifts, romantic dinners by candlelight. But I think for the most of us, we do something simple to let the other person know that we love them and that they hold a special place in our hearts. And we don't always just give Valentine's to the people with whom we have a romantic love relationship. There are other forms of love. We give Valentine's to our children, to friends, siblings. Sometimes we get stumped. We want to do something special, and we're not really quite sure what is just the right expression of that love that we want to share. But the loving part, well, that's pretty easy. Now, no relationship and no person is perfect. But generally, it's not too hard to love our spouse or child or significant other because, in part, we know they love us and they've shared so much of our lives. The same goes for your church family, too. None of us is perfect. But all in all, it's not too hard to love your fellow members, due in large part because you know they love you too. But guess what? Jesus says, big deal, anybody can do that. You're nothing special just because you love the ones that love you. Loving people you know and are comfortable with requires very little of you. You can do more. Christ challenges us in this passage to love more and to go farther in who we love and how we show that love. Now, admittedly, it's not always easy to do this, to love one's enemies, to love the stranger, the other. Take Joseph's case, for instance, in our reading from Genesis this morning. Now, if you recall the story of Joseph, he had an amazing gift to interpret dreams, and he loved to share how amazing his gift was with his big brothers. And they were quite annoyed and jealous and angry, and they conspired to get rid of him. They sold him into slavery. He was taken to Egypt, later accused of sexual assault, imprisoned, then released, given the most powerful position in all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. And then, in the midst of a famine from which Joseph had saved the nation of Egypt, his brothers come from Canaan, seeking food to help keep their families alive. Of course, they don't know it's him. They figured him dead for a long time ago. And he's changed, of course. He's grown and aged, but he recognizes them. Now, in that moment, the easiest response, and maybe the one that might have come from you or me if we were in Joseph's shoes, if we had been betrayed and hurt like he was, would be to say, you dirty rats, well, after what you did to me, you can go home and starve. You left me for dead, so now I'm going to return the favor. But he didn't. Not only did he take pity on them and provide them assistance, he didn't ask them to beg or apologize first. He forgave them. He loved them and asked them to come and live with him. He didn't just send them back to Canaan with food. He said, come and live with me so that he could take care of them and provide for them and their families. That couldn't have been easy. Yet Joseph knew that God's hand and care had been over all that he had been through. God's love had never failed him. So he responded by loving his brothers. Do you know what it's like to have a hard time loving someone? Sometimes that challenge is from someone in your family. Children raised and loved in like manner, one turns out to be balanced and healthy, the other turns out to be an addict with tendencies towards self-destructive behavior. The Parents agonize. The siblings get angry at what the other puts the family through. It's hard to love someone who hurts you, who does that to you. What of a member of the church family, the difficult one? Now, believe it or not, every church has someone in the family like that, who likes to complain, who easily gets their nose out of joint and isn't happy unless they're unhappy. Most every church has its member who goes from one complaint or dissatisfaction to another. And it is a challenge sometimes to love someone who walks around with a dark cloud hanging over their head. Yet Jesus says, do more. Love when it isn't easy. Harder still, I believe, is loving people who aren't like us, who often seem distant and different. We don't understand. I think of a situation like the AIDS pandemic in sub-Saharan Africa, where approximately 1 in 3 of every adults between the ages of 19 and 50 are infected with HIV. They've been warned. Intellectually, they know what causes the spread of AIDS. Yet, they seem unable or unwilling to alter a cultural standard of multiple and varied partners. Monogamy simply isn't a part of their culture. Yet to me, sitting in my privileged place in the first world, that seems the obvious answer for stemming the tide. So how do I love them? In Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, Mary Magdalene sings a haunting song entitled, I Don't Know How to Love Him. She has been frightened and taken aback by the way that Jesus treats her, the way no one has treated her, with dignity and respect. It's different, and she doesn't know how to respond. I think sometimes we have some feelings like that when it comes to loving a stranger, the other, someone who is different from us. They do things in a way that we don't or wouldn't. We don't understand, and maybe they even scare us a little bit. How do we love the other? Jesus tells us, don't judge. Don't condemn. Love. Forgive. Share. Walk beside them. Yes, Lord, we say, but it's so hard. And in our heart of hearts, we know, before those words have even finished coming out of our mouths, what God's response is. Yes, but I loved you, and it wasn't always easy. Well, now we're uncomfortable. We squirm. We try to assure ourselves that we're good people. We're not hard to love. But as human beings, we've always made it difficult for God. Like Abraham, we've lied, put others in jeopardy to save our own necks. Like Sarah, we get impatient waiting for God and take matters into our own hands. Like Joseph's brothers, we try to ignore or rid ourselves of those who challenge our patience and sense of peace. Like David, we see something or someone we want and suddenly develop tunnel vision, unable or unwilling to see what our actions will do to those around us. Like the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, we refuse to show hospitality to strangers. Like Moses, we try to deny or escape our responsibility for the welfare of others. Like Gideon, we don't trust God enough and we demand a sign. And like Peter, we deny that we know Christ or that he is a part of our lives, if not with our words, then with our actions. Yet God continues to love us. In fact, God stops at nothing to get us back, even when we've wandered away. If you've never read the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, it's an interesting one. It's one of my favorites. God asks this prophet Hosea to marry an unfaithful woman so that he can model the people's relationship with God. He provides her with everything she needs. He loves her, tenderly cares for her, and still she wanders off. Still she betrays his love and is unfaithful to him, and more than once. God instructs Hosea to tell the people, "You are like this adulterous woman, and you must account for your actions. You will suffer for the self-destructive choices that you have made. You will pay." Then amidst this tirade of what will befall the people for their unfaithfulness, God's compassion is kindled. And the Lord acknowledges that no matter how unfaithful the people have been, God cannot stop loving them. God says that amidst their desolation that they have brought upon themselves, at their lowest moment, God will tenderly, lovingly lift them up and restore them. If you put yourself in that woman's place, which, if we're honest, is where we often belong, then we are overwhelmed by the love of God that is for us. For often we are not easy to love. Knowing all these things about us, God loved us so much that he sent Jesus into the world to save us, to restore us, and to love us back to who we were made to be. Given the overwhelming truth of God's love for us, how can we not respond? As Christians, redeemed by the unstoppable love of God, we are called to do more, to go further, to love, even when we're scared or we just don't want to. We may not always exactly know how, but we try. And we trust that God will show us the way. We trust that God will love us even when we mess up. And when we mess up, God's love gives us the power to get up and try again.